Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Sam Bankman-Fried, once hailed as a visionary in the cryptocurrency world, founded FTX, a leading crypto exchange, and amassed a fortune that peaked at an estimated $26.5 billion. His rapid ascent was marked by an intense work ethic and a relentless pursuit of success. But sadly, Bankman-Fried's management of FTX and its sister company involved risky financial practices, including the misuse of customer funds. These actions led to FTX's collapse in 2022, resulting in significant financial losses for investors and customers. Just this past fall in November, Bankman-Fried was convicted on multiple counts of fraud and conspiracy. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison and ordered to repay $11 billion, marking a dramatic fall. His story seems to be, in part, a modern parallel to King Solomon's story. Both individuals had great potential and resources, but they allowed their pursuits and passions to lead them away from what was right and led to their downfall. Today we're going to air the second part of a message that Pastor Goins shared on December 29th, considering the lessons that we can learn from the life of Solomon. I trust that this message will be a challenge to you.
It's incredibly sobering to me to think that after having been given so much, having seen so much, having known so much, it could be possible to very subtly make one unwise decision and then another and another until, without realizing it, you've started down a path. And you get several miles down the road and you look around. You kind of like it. And you start to justify your decisions. Did you know we can all be our own best lawyers? There's just something about it. If we want to do something, we can come up with a way to justify it, defend it. You can justify behavior. You can go a little bit further and a little further and get more comfortable until eventually you reach a point where you have crossed some lines that you never intended to cross. And then one day you have a brief moment of sanity and you see what's happening. But maybe by that point you don't even care. Someone said that sin is a form of insanity. Did you know that? Sin makes a person crazy. It makes you numb to reality. This seemed to be so true for Solomon. Solomon may have been the wisest man who ever lived, but he found himself lulled to sleep by the lullaby of the enemy. And what's so sad to me is this happened to Solomon in his old age. We think of this kind of warning for young people, and it is, but the enemy is out for older folks too. He might switch up his tactics. He may come at different angles. I've had some saints, godly senior saints, say to me, every stage in life, every season in life, the enemy has a new approach. The enemy visits senior citizens. He visits nursing homes. Solomon, in the later years of his life, reaches a point where he refuses to follow the Lord. He's been planting seeds of rebellion for a long, long time, and he's about to reap the whirlwind. Our life choices are seeds that grow, and eventually we reap what we sow. Verse number 9 of 1 Kings 11, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned against the Lord. Folks, when our merciful, gracious, long-suffering God, who is abundant in goodness and truth, when he's angry, that's not good. Now, God isn't vindictive. God isn't looking for a chance to zap you with a bolt of lightning or hit you over the head with a baseball bat. God is abundantly merciful. And out of God's abundant goodness, you look at Solomon's life and you see expressions of mercy. He had promised Solomon, if you will walk in obedience to me, I will establish your throne. I'll bless you. I'll bless your people. That's what God wanted to do. That was God's plan. And he'd been so faithful to Solomon. He gave him all that he needed, gave him wonderful things, good things. He loved Solomon with a steadfast love, and he warned him, he lovingly warned him of the consequences of not walking in his way. God showed his mercy. He was long-suffering to Solomon. But Solomon was too arrogant and too self-absorbed to listen. And so God talks to Solomon again. Solomon, because you've done these things, because you've not listened to me, I'm going to tear your kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants. And from that point forward, Solomon's glory days were over. The peaceful, prosperous reign of Solomon becomes rocky and tenuous. And in Solomon's old age, he has headaches to deal with that he'd never dealt with before. Attacks from enemy nations, dissension among his own people. And then Solomon doesn't live to see it, but eventually, because of his own rebellion, Israel and Judah become a divided nation. The bitter consequences of one man's spiral into sin. Now, I realize that Solomon's life isn't exactly shouting ground. But I feel compelled to remind you this morning that there is an enemy, and he is cunning, and he is strategic, and he roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy families. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. And Satan is mean. He hates you. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. He wants to blind your eyes to the truth of God's word. He wants to steal from your heart every bit of truth that's been planted there. And he wants to entice you and deceive you and ultimately destroy you. That's why Paul wrote, "See then that you walk circumspectly, walk carefully." Be careful in your walk. Satan wants to defeat you. But I want to remind you on the tail end of that, that even though he wants to defeat you, he's already a defeated foe. Hallelujah. He's already been defeated. We talked a couple weeks ago, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve fell and the curse of sin passed on the entire human race, God promised the day was coming that the serpent's head would be crushed. And that was accomplished through the person of Jesus. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us victory over sin. Do you believe that this morning? For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this morning, the accuser of the brethren may be on the prowl, but he can only go so far before he reaches the end of his chain. Did you know that Satan is not the opposite of God? God is so much greater and so much more powerful than the enemy. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Satan is already defeated, and one day he'll be cast into everlasting fire. And we can stand this morning against Satan's strategies because through Jesus we've been given all that we need to be victorious. Peter said we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can be victorious in Jesus in 2025 if you want to be. You can stand strong if you want to. You can be consistently victorious if you want to be. Our victory is through Jesus and the power of the Spirit, and it's available to every single person here this morning. But you know, apart from intentional, careful, holy living, the tendency is to drift. And the tendency is for the subtle accumulation of careless decisions to pile up and drive you from the path of wisdom. That's what happened to Solomon. One writer described Solomon's life this way. He said it began with a careless compromise here, a careless compromise there. And then as it continued, the extravagant life that he lived and the extreme luxury and comfort of it all led him to be cynical and bored and disillusioned. And in the midst of all the compromise and the numbing effect of his extravagant lifestyle, he wasn't accountable to anybody. And this led to the point of idolatry, which opened the door for unbridled lust and open defiance against God. And ultimately, Solomon was turned off to spiritual things. If we're not alert to the attack of the enemy, we may find ourselves turned off to spiritual things. That's why we need a strategy to stay on the right path, to keep from the downward spiral. And one of the sad ironies of Solomon's demise is that some of the greatest scriptural admonitions about wise, careful living comes from none other than the pen of Solomon. He was a man who knew so much, but he failed to put into practice what he knew in his mind. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon gives wise advice to the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the teenager who would keep from falling. He said, "Keep thy heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." He said, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Every time I read that passage, I'm reminded of the song we used to sing in Sunday school. "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears and eyes and feet and hands, what you do, where you go, what you hear, what you see." Folks, if you're serious about staying on the right path, you're going to give some serious, serious thought to the things that you allow into your life that will influence your mind and influence your heart. George Heath wrote, "My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. Ne'er think the victory won, nor else at ease sit down. The arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. So fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his rest above." I say to you, as we look to a new year, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence. Stay far from the path of temptation. Follow close to God. Stay in sweet fellowship with him. Now, one of the questions that often comes up about Solomon is, did he ever come to his senses? Did he ever turn back to God before he died? Well, sadly, I can't give you a definite answer, but I can give you a glimmer of hope, because there's evidence that suggests that Solomon may have been the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. In many ways, Ecclesiastes reads like Solomon's journal. And I'm paraphrasing this a little bit, but when you go to Ecclesiastes, Solomon looks over his life and he says, "I tried pleasure. I focused on the good things of life." He said, "I built huge homes for myself. I planted beautiful vineyards. I built gardens and parks and filled them with fruit trees. I amassed a fortune of gold and silver. I brought in the best music, had my fill of beautiful women. Anything I wanted, I took. He said, I didn't deny myself anything that I thought would bring me pleasure. But you know what his conclusion was about a life that's driven by the pursuit of pleasure? He starts the book off with what he thinks about it. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Futile, meaningless, empty, worthless, useless. Anything without God is just that. The human heart, your heart, can never be satisfied with anything less than a living, vital, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You were created to live in fellowship with Him. You were created to follow Him and love Him and serve Him. And if you try to find your joy in the stuff of this world, it's like trying to run a gasoline engine on sugar water. It just won't work. But at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon closes out his journal and he gets down to the bottom line. And our one glimmer of hope is that maybe Solomon remembered this truth before he died and made a course correction. Solomon had considered all the complexities of life and he wrote this. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's get to the bottom line. Here it is. This is the bottom line, he says. This is what matters more than anything else. Fear God. That is, live in a humble, reverent, loving, obedient submission to God. Fear God. In the Old Testament, when you read, this person feared the Lord, that person feared the Lord. That's the equivalent in the New Testament of a person who has been born again. They're following after Jesus. But in the Old Testament, we read, they feared the Lord. Solomon says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God has reached out to you in love and kindness. He reached out in giving His Son Jesus on the cross of Calvary and sending His Holy Spirit to help you. That's what He's done for you. But in response to what God has done for you, the sum total of your responsibility to God is to humbly, lovingly submit to Him and obey. And then he gives us a good reason why. He says, for God shall bring every work, every part of your life, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. And I want to remind you this morning that you are an eternity-bound people listening to an eternity-bound preacher. And one day we will stand before a holy God and the deeds of your life will be brought out in examination before the great judge. Everything you've done openly, everything you've done secretly, there'll be no place to hide, no place to shade the truth. There's an inescapable appointment every one of us have that cannot be canceled. And so we live in the reality that we are eternity-bound people who will live on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You say, what's the way forward? What's the way out if I've already started down the wrong path? I don't have time to develop all of that this morning. But it begins with confession. The only way out is to turn the light on. You want out of the darkness? Turn on the light. Bring it to the open. Confession. And then there's got to be repentance. Turn away from the downward path that you've been traveling. Stop walking that path. Find God's forgiveness. And then comes obedience. Get on the right path. Follow God in obedience. His way is best. And then comes accountability. Did you know none of us were designed to walk this path alone? We need those who come alongside us and ask the hard questions. People who walk with us. We've got to have others walk this path with us. We need each other. And then we have the promise of God's Holy Spirit. If you want to live victoriously, the Spirit of God will help you if you'll cooperate with Him. He'll enable you by His grace to live a consistently victorious life.
Are you standing at a crossroads, wondering which road you should take, and you're dreading the decision?
Been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast, please give us a call at 717-273-3690. That's 717-273-3690. Or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship service. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, my friend, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can watch our services online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information about upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. Now, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
The Lord made me whole, has been.